a Bible that was written some 4,000 to 1,900 years ago is so up to date that it almost reads like tomorrow's newspaper, not just today's. And we have seen how the Bible talks about how Israel would come back to the land, how the desert would bloom in such a way that all the world would know it's of God. It's not just Israel. How that Jerusalem would be brought back into Jewish control, that a nation would be born, a great army would come from Israel. We have seen how the Bible even says that these are the last political powers. Look for a confederation, a revived Roman Empire. The Bible said that there would be a last religious system. And it would be so great that it would be worldwide, for the first time, truly a worldwide church. The statements of the New Age is to drop doctrine. We don't need doctrine, they say. Have an emotional experience. They say, we're not opposed to sin. God is not opposed to sin. It is man who has a hang-up on sin, not God. That's not what my Bible says. They say that Jesus Christ is not the only way. He's just a way. He's one of many. But my Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we have seen that the Bible is very much up to date. Yet I want to spend some time tonight looking at how the Bible even talks about super technology. And I don't care how far out you dream. And tonight we're going to dream as far as we can. We're going to be looking at science and all that it has to offer and to promise today and tomorrow. And my dear friend, it cannot outstrip the Bible. The Bible is up to date. The Bible is God's living word. How can a book be written some 1900 years ago and still be up to date? There's only one way. It must be a living word of God. And may I suggest to you that only the Bible, no other book, only the Bible is alive. Now, after our session on the New Age, I realized that we did it so quickly that there may be, I'm sure there are a number of questions, and some say, well, what about some of the ads that you mentioned? Well, here are some of the actual cutouts. Here's one that says this, you can move mountains. The next line, there's nothing you can't do. Friends, there are a few things that you can't do. All right? For example, try this one, fly. I mean, go on, fly. And if you can't do that, call your prudential men. If you can dream it, you can do it. That's not true. There's a lot of things that we have dreamed that we cannot do. But you see, this is the mindset. Personally, I am offended when I see an ad for Masters of the Universe. First of all, there's only one Master of the Universe. It's singular, isn't it? And it's Jesus Christ, none other. And in the ad, it says this, power your child's imagination. The legend for the Masters, plural, of the universe. He creates them with his own imagination. He makes them come alive. He becomes a He-Man, a super one. And it talks about how that he can become godlike with Masters of the Universe. Part man, part God. Folks, there's no place for that in the Bible, is there? Shirley MacLaine has become an overnight hero. And in an interview in USA Today just a month ago, Shirley MacLaine said, they asked her, what are some of the things that you want to do? She said, frankly, I'd like to have some more spiritual journeys, like I did on Out on the Limb. And she goes on to say she really believes that she is at the threshold of a rebirth of a whole new movement. She is. It's called the New Age. And ads like this, New Age, on the rise. And it's coming in every form. Singers. Singing for what looks like a good cause, simply to find out that here is the effect. Watch for the buzzwords in terms of human potential, positive thinking, self-image. These all tend to be great ideas, but when you get down to them, it all says this, that somehow or another, as men and women, we can get along without God. We're God enough. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. Oprah Winfrey, talk host, is a convert to the New Age. Many people say, I think she's born again. No, she's not. By her own admission, she is a New Age. She has read Mr. Butterworth's book, and she said, that book, I've read it twice, changed my life. She endorses the last temptation of Christ by saying, really, Christ only discovered what each of us need to discover, that really he had God in him. He wasn't God when he came. He discovered God in him as he lived. Folks, that is completely contrary to everything the Bible teaches. The particular denomination is not important. May I read to you out of a church bulletin? In less than 3 months, a great event will take place that could change your church. The Committee on Evangelism of this, names the place, is sponsoring a major conference on renewal and evangelism. It will be held at Names the Hotel, Names the City. The conference will address the theme of story to tell, and we will welcome to our denomination long-awaited evangelism thrust called the New Age Dawning. And they embraced it. I sat on a plane less than 60 days ago as my wife and I flew to a conference in Maine. And there, as we sat on the plane, we watched the pastor as he came back from a pastor conference, and they were canceling this and canceling that, all so they could begin to bring out the New Age Dawning to their people. And they were cutting every budget they could because they wanted to get the message out, the New Age Dawning. This is the greatest thing. Recently, I attended a church where the sermon was this, My Idea of Heaven. And the guy concluded, wouldn't it be great if there was a golf course there? And he got more amens on that than he did anything else. Folks, we have the idea that we can put God in our image. The thinking of the New Age is that somehow we make up the collective mind of God. If enough of us have positive thoughts, positive things happen in the world. If enough of us have negative thoughts, negative things happen. My dear friend, I just want you to know that God is in control, not man, not man's little brain. But somehow or another, we have the idea that we're God. And I'll tell you what, it is catching on. And people love to hear their gods, but they don't like to hear their sinners. And I thank God that at least one person in this conference has acknowledged their need of a Savior and trusted Christ. Matter of fact, I understand we've had two births. One, a spiritual birth. One accepted Christ. We'll be in heaven with Him. And I understand a physical birth. One of the ladies that was here expecting, I understand she just had a baby between last session and now. Then I knew that I would be challenged on this when I was here. Anytime you pick on Prince Charles, you're bound to get it. But here it is, Life Magazine, good guy or wimp, convert to California New Age. He has a New Age guru that follows him around, that practices his New Age with him. No doubt part of the problem that he is having in his marriage probably stems directly from that. You see, the Bible is up to date. The Bible said, listen, in the last days you'll know, because there will be a worldwide religion. It will take in every area. It has captivated sports. Recently, I talked to a girl who plays on a volleyball team at a college. They brought in a whole New Age seminar just for the athletes so they could program their minds. It's surrounding us. Now, what does it mean? Does it mean that we don't buy life insurance, that we don't eat hamburgers? Does it mean we... No, it doesn't mean that. It just simply says this, that we need to understand that we're in a spiritual battle. I believe that Satan realizes he doesn't have long. And therefore, he's going to try with everything he's got. Have you ever noticed this? That just before God introduced Christ, you notice how that Satan tried to eliminate every baby at the birth of Christ. Didn't he? Wanted to eliminate Christ. And isn't it interesting that when God was going to bring Israel, the rebirth of Israel, Satan again tried to annihilate the Jews. You want to know why? Because he did not want Israel to be reborn. That's why. I'll tell you what, Satan has tried everything he can to stop the plan of God. But folks, it won't work. God is in control. And I believe that tonight he's still working with the hearts of men and women, that he might change lives. And so we want to look in our last session, in terms of speaking, at the super technology generation. Take your Bible and turn with me to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Daniel chapter 12. And verse 1. Daniel is a remarkable book. It is a book, I believe, that presents to us God's plan, written at least 500 years before the birth of Christ. It is so accurate in its prophecies. It is so detailed in pronouncing who will be the world leaders. It is so complete in terms of naming them and describing them that some have said Daniel must not have been a prophet. He must have been a historian. Oh, I can show you that cannot be true. Because you see, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, Christ says, Daniel the prophet. And if Daniel was a historian, Christ would have called him a historian, but he said he was a prophet. And so I believe that God gave to Daniel a view of every world power just as it would come. Daniel, because he was faithful to God, God showed him every Gentile power that would come to pass to a Hebrew boy. And now at the end of his life, some 80 years later, here is Daniel. And Daniel sees sights that are reserved for the end of time, and they are so terrible that Daniel can't even stand as he sees them. He melts to the ground. Chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. He said, Daniel, you think there's been trouble now? Oh, I'll tell you, Daniel had seen some trouble. Daniel had seen the nation of Israel taken captive out of Jerusalem and brought back to Babylon. Daniel had seen his own life change, and that he was brought as a teenager, no doubt made a eunuch, and brought to a foreign kingdom. He had seen the people of Israel depart from God. In chapter 9, he weeps to God. And he confesses the sins of Israel as his own sin. But my dear friend, as he sees what lies ahead, Daniel says, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it is a time of trouble like has never been seen. My dear friend, I think he's talking precisely about the tribulation time. Then he says in verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even till the time of the end. Take these words, take this judgment. It's reserved for the end, and seal it, shut it until the time of the end. Then the English version reads, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tested, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. What a prediction he makes in verse 4. Daniel, take these things that you've seen, these things that make you shudder, and shut up the words and seal the book. It is reserved to the end time. How will you know when the end is near? Two ways. One, many shall run to and fro. Travel will be increased. And two, knowledge shall increase. Let's look at these two. Do we live in a day and a time when this is true? Tex Mars has two books on the New Age, a third book called Mega Forces, the latest book out. It's on the book table if you're interested in it. And the name of this book is really Signs and Wonders of a Coming Chaos. It is a book that deals with the expansion of technology. It talks about the abilities of man to possess great powers through science, and how does it change his world? Does it really allow him to be and to do all that he wants to be? Well, it's interesting because among the quotes that you will find scientists making today, I'll just simply give you some of them. One of them says this, we believe that we're close to a worldwide computer networking, which will produce a universal mind. You'll be able to plug your mind in as part of the universe. Another great scientist said this, man's brain is evolving toward a superhuman intelligence capacity, even a God status. That's our scientist saying that. One says, we have psychic ability that enhance man to possess God-like powers. Now you see, after this time, if you were to say to those scientists, you know, that sounds like New Age thing, they'd say, what's New Age? But you see, they've submitted to it already, haven't they? They're even suggesting that we're on the verge of a second Genesis. Namely, that man's creation of genetically engineered laboratory life and robots has actually made man a god, because they can have artificial intelligence, and it makes man a co-creator with God. Frightening, frankly. I spent several years working with IBM in the research division. What I saw with all these advances, yet there was no security. There seemed to be an increasing alarm and hesitation about tomorrow. What about these changes? What about these great advances in technology? Tonight in Japan, there is an industrial robot that toils 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, building new robots to replace itself. You know what they claim? We are creators. We have now created a robot that will continue to create other robots to replace itself. Furthermore, they say we're now working hard to perfect a lifelike robot with silicone chip brains that can think. For the first time, we feel that we're on the verge of actually creating a chip that we can put into a robot that will make independent judgment completely apart from any human intervention. We believe that we are on the verge of becoming gods in terms of our creation of robot life. That's what they're saying. They wouldn't agree to being part of the new age, but guess what? It's here. These same people are predicting that by the year 2000, there will be biological chips made from fleshy substances, maybe from aborted babies, and they will be used to construct brains to put into robots. They think they're within a decade of having it done. Listen to this one. In the intimate machine, encounters with computers and robots, Neil Froude says this, a scientist says, soon we will have robots that will keep us company, and we will even use them as sex partners. We think there's new horizons just ahead, new advances just ahead. We are using material that is similar to human flesh and manufacture organic brains or biological chips to put into robots. If you think that's bad, Omni Magazine reported this, that physicist Robert Freitas presented to NASA the following thing. He says, we are now capable, with our robots, to send to space robots, and in space flights, I quote, they will reproduce themselves using only sunlight and the dust or the earth of whatever planet they are on to remake themselves. They will mimic God in creation by creating life from dust of whatever planet we put them on. Those are the bragging words of scientists today. They said, when can we do it? Here's his answer to NASA. In a decade or so. Frightening, I think. My dear friend, I want you to know that science is not the enemy of God. God invented science. The enemy of God is Satan. And Satan will take any worthwhile achievement and he will do all that he can in science to use those to diminish God in the eyes of men and women. And that's what he's doing. It's not science against God. It is Satan against God. We are on the verge of a fifth generation computer. What does it mean? Listen to what Hans Moravec of Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University says. He is known as the world's foremost robotics researcher. He says that robots will be human equivalent in 20 years. He says, I believe that we will have biological material, he says we have it in the lab right now, that we can implant into computers that would make robots human. Maybe more human than human. He says, we think that we are also on the verge of being able to implant silicon chips into the brain of people. And to control their thinking. Now, lest you think this is so bad, listen to him for a minute. He says, what is grand about this? Let's say that you're deficient in math. You simply put into your brain a silicon chip that is good at math, and now you're pre-programmed to do calculus. I can see the students are liking this a little bit better all the time. Maybe you're not so good on history. That's all right. We just patch your brain. We put a chip in that has all the answers already put in, and you're all right in history. But the trouble is, this also means that they can pre-program values, can't they? And they can make some decisions for us that should not be made. Listen to what he says. We can now program humans. We can control thoughts and desires. We are taking a step toward godhood. We are taking a step toward immortality. That's what he says. He goes on to say, if we could produce this, he says, our children then will really be an offspring of the whole human race, instead of one particular couple. We will share intelligence one with another. We will have teachers in the truest sense. Folks, I think it's a little frightening, don't you? Next. The author of the book, the second Genesis, he says this, I quote, "When man can write out detailed genetic messages of his own, his powers become truly godlike." And in the book, the second Genesis, he says, really, we can go back and see that everything is just bad genes. It's not human sin, and it's not Satan or the enemy. It's bad genes. Oh, come on. And he blames everything on bad genes. And he said, you know what? If we can just simply control the genes, if we can manipulate those genes to control the product of children, we then can produce better people. You see, the whole idea is aimed at no God. We can work our way out of this thing. Folks, this is the kind of technology that we're on the verge of. Next, in addition to that, I find that not only are we on that kind of a verge in terms of technology, but here's another statement that is interesting. According to science today, it says this, that we are also on the brink, scientists say that we're on the brink of remarkable discoveries in pharmaceuticals. Now listen to this. They say that we have drugs right now that can make it so that we can control aggression. We can eliminate fear. We can remove guilt feelings. We can create pleasant dreams. We can control sociability. We can eliminate venereal disease. And we can prevent obesity. All we need are drugs. And they say these drugs are available, it's just that they're not legal yet. Well, I tell you what, I believe that they will use those drugs, and I think with those drugs, I think they'll be able to sell us just about anything they want to sell us, don't you? Frightening. Marilyn Ferguson, part of the New Age movement, says this, and I quote, she says, "When I was on LSD, all Bibles read the same and made sense." Yeah, I believe it. Drugs, great advances in computers. Next. How about nuclear warfare? On page 93 of the book, Mega Forces, listen to this. Here is a list of high-tech arsenals that have just been developed in the last several years. Number one, smart bombs. The so-called smart bombs are so precise that you program them and you teach them a target and they will find the target even though the target is hidden. You can pre-program to hit the target. Number two, we have laser beams that can cut a hole in airplanes and ships of supersonic aircraft as speeding missiles to disintegrate them or vaporize them in flight. It says this, we have neutron bombs. Neutron bombs are great, here's why. They can kill men and women with poisonous radiation, yet they leave every building and vehicle standing, all the properties intact. All it does is work on humans, destroys them. We have biological toxins delivered by aircraft and missiles that can blanket an entire nation. It is now possible with one bomb to blanket the entire continent of North America with one biological toxin. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, folks, we have used science to our best advantage, haven't we? Chemical weapons. It says that more to be feared than all of the weapons we have probably are the chemical and biological weapons that are now available. Listen, those are just the things that have been developed recently. As far back as 1961, the Soviet Union exploded a bomb, a nuclear bomb, and that bomb had the force of 4,000 times the destructive force of Hiroshima. In the last 3 years, they've launched three bombs, set up three bombs, test bombs, and each of those are close to 1,000 times stronger than the one before. We make Hiroshima look like a ladyfinger. We are living in a technology generation, aren't we? But the Bible said we would. In a book called Future Shock, it is not a book written to convince anyone of Christianity. It is simply a book by Alvin Telford that is talking about how different society is today. And he says this. He says, the world of today is as different as the world of 60 years ago as the world of 1923 would be from Julius Caesar. He said, we've changed more in the last 60 years than we did in 1900 years. And he goes on to prove his point. He said it used to be that between the discovery of chemical elements, he said we would go several years, 10, 20 years, he says, now we're discovering new chemical elements almost yearly. He says, 100 years ago, technology, sociology would change so slowly that one would barely notice. He said, part of the problem that people are having today is they're going through great changes, technology and sociological changes, so quickly our children cannot adjust. He says, look at the changes that have taken place. He said, just in farming, in 1947, he says, it took 27 million cows to supply the milk to the United States. Today, they produce more milk with half the cows. Listen to this figure. It used to be, several years ago, a decade ago, an average cow produced 600 pounds of milk. Last year, the record-producing cow produced 44,000 pounds of milk. Incredible. I'll tell you what, we have seen technology explode, haven't we? Future shock. Again, not a believer who writes the book. And he says, we believe that we will see the greatest changes ever imagined taking place in our generation. Megatrends was the best-selling book, according to the New York Times, for 2 years. And it begins to talk about how there would be an information, a computer explosion. You know, the Bible speaks of all this. It really does. Let's see exactly what the Bible says. In Daniel chapter 12, written by the prophet Daniel, inspired by God, verse 4, he says, all right, Daniel, take the book. Seal the book until the time of the end. And he says, you know when the end is. Here's how. Because many will run to and fro. Travel will increase. And secondly, knowledge will expand. Is that true? You know, between Columbus and the Apostle Paul, about 1,500 years is American. And if you were to look at the ships that they both sailed in, they were roughly the same, weren't they? But can you imagine telling either one of them, say, how would you like to go for a boat ride? And you put them on a piece of metal called a battleship. And I can just simply say, hey, we don't know whether the earth is round or flat, but we know that metal doesn't float. So I'll say, come on, get on the ship. Yeah, it's made out of metal, but watch it. And can't you see them getting on a ship that's 3 city blocks long and 1 city block wide? You know that one chain of the anchor of our modern day ships weighed more than Columbus's entire fleet. And we have seen those changes take place in our lifetime. Matter of fact, all those changes have taken place just since the turn of the century. And then I can see you tell the Apostle Paul to get in a submarine and go under the water. He said, no, he said, I've been in the ocean for a day and a half and I was happy to get out. He said, no, this is a submarine. He said, well, I don't know what kind of a sandwich that is. And he said, no, he said, you don't understand it. This is a boat. We now have ships that can stay underwater without coming up for longer than a year. And all that has taken place just in the last century. The wheel. Ever thought about the wheel? You see, we have the idea that the people in Genesis, they were cavemen. You know, ugh, me man, she woman. And that's not really the way it went. I read in Genesis that really these were very bright people. The wheel was all the way back in Genesis. From Genesis all the way until the turn of the century, the way of ground transportation was a wagon, wasn't it? Pulled by an animal, usually. But what happened around the turn of the century? Well, someone had a better idea. Or was it really better? But anyway, they put a motor in the thing, didn't they? And we know that now there's such a thing as cars, and we go everywhere, but that change has just taken place even since the turn of the century. Medical care. Ever think about the changes in medical care? It's incredible, isn't it? You know, we talk of miracle drugs. Do you realize that over 70% of all the medicines used today were developed since World War II? Now listen to this. They estimate by 1990 that 90% of all the medicines used by the year 1990, barely 2 years away, will be developed in the decade of the 80s. That's how fast medicine is changing. It used to be that we dreamed of artificial limbs, heart transplants, and other miracle surgeries, and they're a reality today. We've seen great changes in technology, haven't we? We've smashed the atom. We've built computers. We have miracle drugs in operation. They say that every single day, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 journals, scientific papers and journal articles are written. It's amazing, isn't it? They say that over 90% of all the engineers and scientists that have ever lived are alive at this moment on the earth. 90%. If we make it to the year 2000, they estimate that over 95% of all the engineers and scientists that have ever lived will be alive at that point in time. That's why there's such great changes, I say. Several years ago when I left the university, I was returning my books. And as I was returning my books to the library, one of the nice things about being on the faculty, you can check out all the books you want. And I had to return all those books when I left the university. And as I was doing so, the librarian says, you know, you're going to miss this place, aren't you? I was insulted. I mean, he was implying that just because I wasn't going to be at his university and using his library, I couldn't keep up. I said, well, I'll read. I'll say it. He says, you can't. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, there's no way you can keep up. And he opened his desk and he pulled out an article and it showed this, that every 6 months, we double the amount of information available to the human being. That means that if you graduated from college 6 months ago, you're halfway out of it. Isn't that encouraging? And in some of the high-tech areas, every 3 months, we double the amount of information available. After leaving the research center at IBM, I talked to those people a little while later, and I said, say, what about this? They said, you got to be kidding. That's old. Well, yeah, it was a year ago. I said, well, what about this? No, man, we don't even think like that anymore. I mean, that's dark age stuff. Well, yeah, that was a year and a half ago. You see, we have seen this, haven't we? We have seen knowledge increase. Now listen, that's exactly what God said to Daniel. Daniel, shut up the book, seal it till the time of the end. Remember the book that was opened in Revelation 4 and 5 that began the tribulation? I think this is the book. Seal the book until the time of the end. How do you know when the end is here? You'll know because technology will explode. My dear friend, we're there, aren't we? Our weapons, our drugs, our computers, our robots, Our ships, our cars, our medicine. A person can go to the store, to a shopping center, and you can buy a calculator for under $10, and in 10 minutes, one person can do the calculations that it used to take 1,000 men working 10 hours a day, 100 days to do. And you can buy the little handheld computer for $10. That's changes in technology, isn't it? There was a great scientist. His name was Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton, in addition to being a great scientist, was also an outspoken Christian. He believed in creation. He believed in God. He was a saved man. And Sir Isaac Newton is really the man who formulated the three basic laws of engineering. Every engineer in every school in the world studies Newton's three laws for at least 2 years of the time he's in college studying engineering. And when Sir Isaac Newton came to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, he said, I believe someday, based on Daniel 12, 4, someday, using these three laws, that man will make great technological advances and they will travel at incredible speeds. Matter of fact, Sir Isaac Newton said, I think man will someday travel at 20, maybe 30, or even 40 miles an hour. Now, I hope it's all right to have a favorite atheist, because I do. His name is Voltaire. And the reason I like Voltaire, I guess there's two reasons. One, he's so easy to pick on. And he is quoted in every philosophy class in every university in the world. I want to quote to you what Voltaire, an outspoken opponent of Christianity, has to say about Sir Isaac Newton. Voltaire, at one time, said the Bible is so out of date that in 50 years you won't even be able to buy a copy. Now, don't you love it? A bookstore in England bought a New Testament for $500,000, and the same bookstore sold the entire writings of Voltaire for 8 cents. I think they cheated people when they sold them the writings of Voltaire. Voltaire, an opponent of Christianity, he listened to the statement of Newton. And he says this, I quote, see what a fool Christianity makes of an otherwise brilliant man such as Sir Isaac Newton. Doesn't he know that if a man were to travel at 40 miles an hour, he would suffocate and his heart would stop? Oh, boy. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to load Voltaire up on the back of a motorcycle. Wouldn't that be fun? And go 40 miles an hour. I mean, you know, just to see if he'd suffocate. And then go 55. And then just once, pop a wheelie and do about 100. I mean, wouldn't that be fun? You see, here's what we have found. I'm sure that many in this room have traveled in airplanes, and they've traveled hundreds of miles an hour. Some in this room, no doubt, have traveled over 1,000 miles an hour in an airplane. And on the last space shot, the astronauts traveled in excess of 18,000 miles an hour. And their heart did not stop, and they did not suffocate. You know what? We're the people that have seen that come through, haven't we? We have seen Israel back in the land. We've seen Jerusalem return. We've seen the deserts bloom. We've seen Israel rise to military strength. We've seen Israel as a nation. And we've seen technology explode. We've seen knowledge increase. We've seen travel expand. My dear friend, I believe that we are a privileged people. No other people of any other time have ever seen more of the Bible fulfilled literally in their lifetime before their eyes than you have. But how will you respond? Two last articles that I want to share with you. One of them comes out of a paper in Colorado. One night I was stranded in an airport. It was snowing hard. I couldn't make it to where I was planning to go. So I was stuck there. And as I was there, the fellow who sat across the table from me turned out to be an engineer, turned out to be associated with his company. And I was so proud of his company. As a matter of fact, he gave me this article. It talks about a little computer chip that you can produce about the size of a grain of rice. And the beauty of it is this. You can actually implant this little chip under the skin of an animal, like a deer or an elk. And then you can follow that deer as it migrates and as it runs across the country. They've implanted it under the skin and the scales of fish, and they've watched the fish as they've migrated through the ocean. Some railroad companies have put these on railroad cars. They know where every car is. Simply type in the identification number, and the chip tells you exactly where it is. They put them in police cars and on policemen so they can identify policemen when they stop to make a call. I understand in parts of Western Canada, every cow has one of these already implanted on the back of it. They simply wave a wand over and they know exactly where the cow was raised, bred, and how it was fed. And this man was excited. He said, we can make about $50,000 a month. Now he says, right now they cost about $10 a piece, but he said, soon the production of these will be in such great demand, he says that we can make them for about 25 cents a piece. And listen to this. He says, I probably get 3 major phone calls a day from all over the world, people with new ideas for this technology. And he says, already the Rockwell International plant that deals with confidential material is suggesting that we implant these on people. One idea was on their hand, an identification number, so that you just scan the hand and you know exactly who the person is. But the trouble is you may have your hands in your pocket, or you may have them folded like this, or so that the other idea was simply implant it right up here, right by your hairline. Oh, cosmetically, they make it look just great. And as you walk in and out of a room, they know who went in, how long they were there, exactly what they took out of the room. Now, lest you think that this is science fiction, here is an article out of the American Medical News, January 1988, not even a year old. Listen to it. Physician inventor says device will help find missing children. Two Jews, a doctor Jew and an engineer Jew, working together say this. It's 1990, and if Dr. Daniel Mann has been right, a teeny device bearing his name is now revolutionizing the security industry and providing a solution to some of the 1980s most frightening problems. Consider the following scenario. A 4-year-old girl is lured from a park playground while her babysitter is momentarily distracted. 45 minutes later, police swoop down on a city row of houses, find the child unharmed, and take her kidnapper into custody. An ambassador is being driven across a major foreign capital. Suddenly his limousine is cut off. Armed terrorists wound his bodyguard, take the ambassador prisoner. Within hours, a government SWAT team surrounds the suburban building. The ambassador is freed. The surprised hostage takers are themselves taken prisoner. What's common in both of these dramas? Here's what it is. We are now able to make a device that we can implant in people. For just several hundred dollars, we can have the device implanted under the skin of people, cosmetically, no problem. And we would be able to identify and find any person at any time. Isn't that exciting? Do you know that the people who are concerned about missing children say, hey, you know what? We believe at the time of birth, every child ought to be implanted with one of these devices. So we know whoever there would be no child mix-up, no such thing as missing children. And the people who work with aging say, hey, wouldn't that be great? Before you collect your next social security check, we'll implant a device so that we'll be able to identify everyone. You know what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13? In the last days, you'll know. Because in the tribulation, the Antichrist will be able to identify every person. Without his mark, you won't be able to buy, sell, eat, work, or go to school. Folks, I don't think computers are bad. I own 4, 5, or 6 of them. I work on them. It's not technology. It's bad. It's Satan. And the men that use it. But I think we're there, don't you? Then we'll know when the end is here. You will see technology expand. You will see travel expand. And folks, we're here. Things that are taking place today are things that were a dream just a year or two ago. They're a reality tonight. My dear friend, what else would God need to show you to convince you that we're living in the last day? I believe we don't need more facts, but I do believe we need changed lives. Will our time together at this conference change your life? Will you simply go out and will you live like you've always lived? Will you think like you've always thought? As we rub shoulders with our friends, our family, our neighbors, will it change the way we talk to them? And if it doesn't, then we've just wasted several days of precious time, haven't we? But I pray, oh God, help it to change my life. Help us to change yours. May God give us a boldness in these last hours before the Lord returns to tell people of the blessed hope. It really is a blessed hope, isn't it? There is no hope like it in all the world apart from Christ. My dear friend, I believe that a serious thing today is that there are many people that are masquerading as Christians. They hear the truth. They know the truth. But there's been no change in how they live. What a frightening thing. The Bible says that when the bridegroom came, there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You couldn't tell the difference on the outside. They all looked alike and smelled alike and acted alike. But there were 5 that were real and there were 5 that were phony. To be honest with you, my great fear is this, that there are so many false professors in Christendom today. People that think by parking in the parking lot, sitting in the pew, listening to a tape, listening to a message, opening their Bible, that will save them. It won't. But it must be Christ. And His shed blood. Has there ever been a time when you received Christ? Or are you just one who may be the tragic story of the foolish virgin? Righteous, religious, but not paid. Oh, I pray, God, if there's one in our midst tonight that doesn't know Christ for sure, will they come? I pray that. Thank God for one that came. Thank God for another that is thinking these very things over at this moment. Folks, we don't have long, do we? I really believe that we're in the last inning. We're down to the last out. I believe that we're in the last hour, maybe the last day, before the Lord comes. And I wonder, will we live pleasing to God? If you don't know Christ, if you'd like help in any of these areas, oh, we'd love to talk to you. There are people here that would love to open God's Word and show you from the Bible how you can know you're saved, how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, as we come to the end of our time together, Lord, we thank You for this time. And dear God, we pray that if there's one here tonight as they look at all the changes that have taken place just in the last few years, great changes, but exactly as the Bible has said. Father, we pray that you might impress upon them their need of a Savior. Dear God, we also pray for those that might be among us that are false professors, simply clinging to a religious experience instead of to Christ. Lord, save them, we pray. And Father, again, we pray for those that know Christ. Oh, Lord, may it make a difference in how we live and think and act in every area of our life. Father, we confess that we failed you often. And we failed you terribly. But thank God, you're a God who continues on and you're willing to work with those who, even though they have failed, we think of Peter. Now you took him and used him, even though he'd failed. Lord, we confess that we have failed. But Lord, we pray that in these last hours, you might use us to shout the good news that Christ came the first time to save. He's coming again to take those who have trusted in him. And Father, we pray that all that is done at this conference might be for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.